We're going to be looking at 1 Kings 1:19-27 with the unlikely title, "He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief," of Isaiah 53:3. And I'll read through the verses. "And he hath slain," this is speaking of Adonijah, of course, "oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the hosts. But Solomon your servant has he not called. And you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel upon you, that you should tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders." And lo, while she yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, "Behold, Nathan the prophet." And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, "My lord, O king, have you said, Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. But me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon hath he not called. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and you have not showed it unto your servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him?" The last part of that verse in Isaiah 53 that our title for tonight's study is taken from says, "And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not." It was by hiding our face from the truth in our former conversation because of our blindness that we demonstrated that we despised and rejected Christ, who was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. He is despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. "And you have he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." I'm sure Adonijah didn't think of himself as a child of wrath, but by the very actions that he was betraying, he was rejecting Christ. He was rejecting the ordinances that were there before him, and that he knew. In this section of 1 Kings, we will learn through the example of Adonijah how by our self-righteous religious actions, we are all guilty of rejecting Christ by holding fast to his name, but not his doctrine. And conversely, how when we were given to know the truth, that we then began to be rejected and hated by all men for his name's sake, because as he is, so are we in this world. We're rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. It is by living by the faith of Christ that we can go through the crushing and dying daily experiences of this life, which are precious in the sight of God, who is preparing the bride through those trials to become saviors. So nothing is in vain, and all things are for our sakes, and God's called us to encourage each other, remind each other that he's in the midst of all those trials. Isaiah 4:1 says, "In that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel, only let us be called by your name and take away our reproach." And we know in Isaiah 3, it says this whole stay of bread and the whole stay of water is gone. So there's no bread there. It's not bread at all. It's just the mammon of this earth. The trial of your faith being much more precious than if gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. "And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. So we're enduring until the end through Christ, just as Christ endured unto the end by the power that our Father gave him. Wherefore, also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the corner, the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. So Adonijah was appointed to that, and in our appointed time, like we read, we are, that's our former conversation. And I'll just mention how well this ties into the study tomorrow. I'm so grateful for that whole concept that the Lord gave Dennis, because it really helps us see the process that God's putting us through and how we're blessed to be crushed by that stone today. But you, because this is what is being manifested in our lives as a result of those trials, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, a special people because of Christ in you, that you should show forth the praise of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Precious, as we die daily, in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. So we know his body is that flesh. We are his flesh and bones. And Christ is going to, no man ever yet hated his own flesh. Christ loves the body. He loves us and he promises to finish this work within us. As painful, as difficult as it is for the flesh, he's perfectly aware of that and has gone through it and reconciled us by his death. So the scripture says, how much more will we not be saved by his life which is in us? So there's great hope when we put all the scriptures together and recognize God. God is at the helm working all of these afflictions and trials that we share. Before Solomon, a type of the elect in this instance, can be appointed king by King David, who represents Christ, we need to see the extent of our pride, our own pride, and self-righteousness that wants to do good and offer sacrifices as Adonijah did, and how we naturally forget these words. As the Lord has great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That obedience is something we learn through the things that we suffer as we go from glory to glory, beholding the glory of Christ, our hope of glory within, who gives us the power to be able to be obedient, until ultimately we will no longer hide, as it were, our faces from him, but rather see him face to face. No, it's hid, but the actual word is hid. Yeah, there you go. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. And that glass is that sea of glass. That's who we are. We see Christ more and more clearly as we see Christ in each other. We are each other's shepherds. We are shepherds for Christ. And Christ is the door, but we are the shepherds of that door for one another. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So there's that process, little and by little, patiently possessing our souls, knowing that nothing is happening in vain, that God's sovereign over the whole process. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he's making us know what that glory is as we go from glory to glory. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. So we see through a glass darkly. God didn't make it so evident every single second of our life, but rather he's made it so that we have this great struggle, this wrestling match. so that we realize we need each other and that we have to go through this together and that we need each other's prayers. He's designed us to be disciples, to witness to the world how through the body of Christ we overcome and we nourish each other, we help each other, we grow. This is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. But I ask myself, did Christ really finish the work? He finished the work that God gave him to do, but is that work finished? As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. And that will be true. All nations will come under God's sovereign hand. Before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So absolutely Christ can say that. He can look at us and know that we are his and give us that confidence in his power, even as we put off our flesh and stop through the trials, come to realize we are not the generation who have confidence in our own flesh. Our confidence is in God and in the power of God's Holy Spirit. The first verse, and he has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the hosts, but Solomon your servant has he not called. As we just read in 1 Samuel 15, these sacrifices of oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, which were slain, demonstrate the stubbornness in Adonijah's heart and the extent that he and all flesh will go to in order to get our own way that seems right unto us. As we do many wonderful religious works, without truly knowing that Christ is the one who is working in us, both to will and to do of those works. And that's the miracle, to actually start to see through that veil and to recognize that Christ is the one doing the work, and all glory and honor are his. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, and in your name cast out devils, and in your name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, you that work iniquity, which is our own righteousness, which is what Philippians 3:9 says, and he be found in him not having my own righteousness. That's all of those wonderful works, which is of the law, but that which is of which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And when a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, just to bring out this point a little more, and commits iniquity and dies in them, for his iniquity that he has done shall he die. The righteousness being spoken of that we turn away from in Ezekiel is typical of the righteousness of Christ, who is our righteousness. And when God causes us to err by hardening our hearts, we die in our own works that Christ likened unto the dead burying the dead. God is in the process of burning all this self-righteousness out of Christ's bride as we're led unto repentance. God is working with the elect in this age to bring about mature sons who glorify him as vessels that have been made unto honor through a sanctification process that makes us meet for the Master's use, being prepared unto every good work. And that's reminds us of what he said. John said, you know, bring forth fruit meet unto repentance. The fruit has to be there. If there's no fruit, then there's no true repentance. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. So God has done it, and Christ is the one who's the vine, and without him we know we couldn't bear for any fruit. And so we need to know that. Of course, God has to bring us to see that so that we don't boast, because boasting is excluded by the law of faith. O Lord, why have you made us to err from your ways and harden our hearts from your fear? Return for your servant's sake the tribes of thine inheritance. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and prepared unto every good work. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. This is the blindness that is caused and is typified by Jacob, who for 7 years served the tender-eyed firstborn Leah, who represents our completely blind flesh that cannot see. Her name means weak-eyed, and it's just a parable showing us how we can't see through that veil. We cannot see until we're given Rachel, who represents the gift of God's grace given to us through faith. Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. And Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, it is better that I give her to thee than that I should give her to another man. Abide with me. Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. Adonijah was in no way following the principle that Christ tells us in Luke 14, verses 12 to 15, and had chosen rather to invite those people who would best advantage his goal of securing his position as king via Abiathar the priest and Joab and the captain of the host. In Adonijah's mind, these were the most likely people who would bid thee again and a recompense be made thee, which was his way of seeking political advantage. He wanted to be in this for the long run, and he was setting up the situation for his advantage. Luke 14:12, then said he also to him that bade him, when you make a dinner or a supper, call not your friends, nor your brethren, neither your kinsmen, nor your rich neighbors, lest they also bid thee again, and a recompense be made thee. But when you make a feast, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. And that's what God is telling us. Blessed and holy is he that is part in the first resurrection, or is called to that supper. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when one of them sat at meat with him, heard these things, he said unto them, blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. And that kingdom of God is within us now. And if we're eating that bread today, rightly dividing the word, we are truly blessed of all men. The banquet that God's elect are called to is the marriage supper of the Lamb. And so we only need to look at Christ's example here to know who it is that has been determined to be called from the foundation of the world. The poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind. Those who have been brought to see that they are unworthy and see the hope in these trustworthy statements found in 1 Timothy and 1 Corinthians that are worthy of all acceptation. And he saith unto me, right, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And am no more worthy to be called your son, the prodigal son. Make me as one of your hired servants. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtain mercy, and we can put all of our names there, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And if you're reading that, and I know we are, we see that's the salvation of all men being mentioned there. But in that pattern, in that order, starting with the weak of the world, the uncomely branch, and then all of the rest of the world being grafted in. For you see your calling, brethren, how not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Pardon me. The king and Abiathar the priest and Joab the captain of the host represent the mighty and the noble of this world, who will in God's time see the order of his plan that was determined to be that way, so that no flesh should glory in his presence. But Solomon, your servant, hath he not called, reminds us that Adonijah was not given to receive the wisdom that was needed in order to become the true king of Israel, as it was too high for him. Adonijah typifies our flesh, trying to find some other way into the kingdom of God, but some other way being our own works, our own righteousness, which we mentioned in Philippians 3:9. Wisdom is too high for a fool. He opens not his mouth in the gate. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. And be found in him, we read that, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And the next three verses, and now, my Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that you should tell them, who shall sit on the throne of my Lord the King after him? Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my Lord the King shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. And lo, while she yet talked with the king, that's Bathsheba talking, Nathan the prophet also came in. This verse, and now, my Lord, O King, the eyes of all Israel upon thee, that you should tell him who shall sit upon your throne, sit on the throne of my Lord the King after him, has its fulfillment for God's elect in Malachi 3:18, which we'll read in a moment, which is when the eyes of all Israel, who represents the world, will look to Mount Zion, that represents the elect who will judge them out of Esau. We are all offenders, but by the grace of God, our offenses, as a kind of first fruit, are given an accounting in this life, which is represented by the actions of Bathsheba and Nathan, who are disclosing the facts about Adonijah, whose life represents our former conversation. That is the reason we ought to come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain grace in time of need while we're being judged today, along with this attitude of humbling ourselves before the king, which they both did, both Bathsheba and Nathan did that. And that king, of course, represents Christ, who already knows we are the man of 2 Samuel 12:7, and that we have all forsaken Christ in our time. In other words, if Christ does not set us free from sin, I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked. This is when all Israel's eyes will be upon the elect, between him that serves God and him that serves not, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Know you not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? And Savior shall come up on Mount Zion to judge them out of Esau, and the kingdom shall be the Lord's. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Verse 21 is accompanied with an admonition for us right after verse 20, stating, otherwise it shall come to pass, when my Lord the King shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders, telling us also that unless our witness does not truthfully go forth through Christ, who is our hope of glory, represented by King David, that their blood will be upon our head, and we shall be counted offenders. But God is not going to let that happen. The witness and will be a faithful witness through Jesus Christ. The solution to being able to heed this admonition of being a faithful witness is given to us in the form of a parable represented by Nathan, who in verse 22 appears on the scene stated this way, while Bathsheba yet talked with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. Our hope is not in this life alone, because we know Christ is raised. And although it is true, my Lord the King shall sleep with his fathers, our hope is that Christ our King is raised now, and that we are raised with him in earnest, making it possible for us to be true witnesses who are not experiencing any condemnation in Christ. If God so allows, then we are being blessed to demonstrate our discipleship through obedience to God's commands as we experience his love being shed abroad in our hearts, for that very reason of giving us the power to be obedient and faithful witnesses to the end of this life. So it's interesting the contrast here, because they're using two, Nathan and Bathsheba, and gathering their witness. And the negative, of course, is Adonijah. He's gathering his crew of people to witness. So there's a negative and there's a positive witness there. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Meditate upon these things, give yourself wholly to them, that your profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto yourself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save yourself and them that hear you. So by meditating on the Word of God, considering these things, we are preparing ourselves to be that witness, to always be ready to give an answer for the hope that's within us. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Bathsheba is a type of the church whose witness to the king is going to be confirmed by the prophet Nathan. We are dragged to the king to make these requests and are accepted in the beloved through God's Holy Spirit. Nathan is the second person to confirm, that's the witness, what was being brought to the king. And Nathan is a type of the Spirit of God that will bear witness that we are his sons in this age, who have been given the power to testify. And that's in Romans 8:16. While others deny Christ, who won't deny himself? If he is abiding in us and saving us by grace through faith, the Spirit of God is not bound, and that's what will happen. We will be saved by grace through faith. John 6:63. It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit in their life. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, how or what, for it shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. 1 Kings 1:23, and they told the king, saying, Behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Christ, unlike David, knows what is going on all the time and everywhere in the earth, which we read in 2 Chronicles here. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth I shall have wars. Jeremiah 1:12, Then saith the Lord unto me, You have well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. So God's wakeful over his word is what we're seeing. And actually, if you look at that, Satan also goes to and fro throughout the whole earth. But that's of the Lord. That's just another way that we see how he is God's servant. He's doing exactly what God wants him to do. And this statement, and they told the king, is typical of the statement found in the book of Job, where Christ asked this question that would generate an answer. The question, and the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. That question was not for his benefit, of course, but for ours, to remind us that we are constantly dealing with a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And yet he will not prevail or catch God's elect off guard if we are granted to resist him steadfastly in the faith. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walks about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And that's very comforting to know, well, if others have gone through this, not just today in this body of Christ today, but all of those things that have happened, especially to Christ, but also to the prophets of old, who are an example of that patience and long-suffering, then we know that we are in good hands. God has got us secure. Nothing will separate us from the love of God. I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the Lord said, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted, strengthen thy brethren. So when we have that strength and that faith growing, it's not just for ourselves. It's to serve. It's to be that joint, as we know, to build up each joint supplying in love, so that we recognize, again, the Lord is at hand. And where the Lord is, there the Spirit is. And there's a spirit of liberty there. And that's what we long to see all the time when we come together. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So Christ prayed for his faith, and then he was strengthened, and he was able to do the work that he would not have been able to do otherwise. What we hope to see in all our dealings with Christ in each other is this spirit of humility that Nathan brought forth. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. Having our face to the ground is a symbolic gesture that reminds us who we are to be in the presence of our king. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And that word, bowed himself, page 7812, bow down, crouch, fall down, humbly beseech, do make obeisance, do reverence, make, do stoop to worship. And then we have for that word face, they have the same word here found in Zephaniah 2:3. Seek you the Lord, all you meek of the earth. Those, when we're abased, that's how we find the Lord, which have wrought his judgments. Seek righteousness, seek meekness. It may be you shall be hid in the day of the Lord's anger. And that word there is H639, face, anger. And it's used 276 times. Anger 171 times, angry 4, face 19, faces 3. But let the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So let's just go back and look at that. I want to make sure I'm making this point correct here. Anger, H639, is also the same word as face, before the king with his face to the ground. That's good. And Nathan said, verse 24 and 25, my Lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne? For he has gone down this day and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and has called all the king's sons and the captains of the host, and Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. The discerning mind of Christ, represented by King David, is going to make a declaration very shortly, after all the facts are stated by Bathsheba and Nathan. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged and no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. Bathsheba and Nathan have gone about to establish this witness with humility in their approach, stating only the facts of the matter that the king will base his arbitration on. Nathan starts off by asking King David, are these his words? Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. to immediately establish that Adonijah's actions were self-willed, boastful, and not ordained by the king, which Nathan and Bathsheba wanted to be sure was the case. He that answers a matter before he hears it, it is a folly and a shame unto him. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. You still have to try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. If this is the case, that David has approved Adonijah to be king, then surely David would have been the one putting all of these things together that Adonijah took upon himself to do. And we'll look at Luke 15:27 to make that point. And he said unto him, your brother is come, and your father has killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. For he is gone down this day, and has slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep and abundance. He's done this, and has called all his king's sons, and the captains of the host, and about Abiathar the priest, and behold, they eat and drink before him, and say, God save King Adonijah. These were all normal proceedings for someone who has been ordained to be a king, but in Adonijah's case, it was all a demonstration of the flesh wanting to be acknowledged and given approval for his own personal gain. Luke 15:27, he said unto him, your brother has come, and thy father has killed a fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. So that's the place where both Bathsheba and Nathan are. They're in a humbled state, and they're coming before Christ, and they're being received because of that spirit, which is the same spirit that this prodigal son has. And of course, it's all the work of the Lord, but that's why the Lord crushes us. He brings us to that point where we acknowledge that he's called us to be kings and priests, but we have to lose our life and not try to gain our life or gain our salvation by doing something that's outside of the will of God. And of course, that's of the Lord too. If he's working that in our heavens and he deceives the prophet, that's of the Lord as well. Therefore, when you do your alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men, which is exactly what Adonijah was doing. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. These were the matters that Bathsheba and Nathan were searching out in order to preserve the true lineage of the king, which we talked about last week. Why were they doing this? Well, they were trying to preserve the true lineage, which is a type and shadow of what Christ is doing for us. He's not letting any man steal our crown. He's strengthening us to overcome the adversary. And it demonstrates a typical lesson that we are called to learn by looking well unto ourselves and the church, so that by the grace of God, no man will take our crown, which is what Adonijah was trying to do. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God. So that's how we do that. Partly is by feeding the flock. It's a big part of it. Christ said that to Peter. If you love the brethren, feed them. And that's what God gives us to do for one another. We feed each other. We clothe each other. We recognize that we are shepherds for each other. We're protecting each other. Over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the honor of kings to search out a matter. I, the Lord, search the hearts. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. I know your works and your labors and patience, and how you cannot bear them which are evil. And you have tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. 1 Kings 26:27. But me, even me, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and the servant Solomon, hath he not called? Is this thing done by my lord the king, and you have not showed it unto your servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Nathan's statement had the veiled understanding that Adonijah was conveniently calling who he wanted in order to get approval for his actions, even as he steered away from calling on Nathan, thy servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? calling Zanuck would have brought condemnation to Adonijah, just as would calling Nathan, along with Jehoiada and Solomon. So that's why he didn't call him, because he knew these were upright men who would have saw through this. Zadok's name gives us that indication. It's just, righteous. Nathan's name is to avenge or to appoint, just to give us some idea, ordain. Benaiah, Jah has built. Unless the Lord builds a house, the weary laborers toil in vain. So Adonijah was laboring in vain, no doubt. And so then Jehoiada, his name is Jehovah known. And then it breaks down to these words here, to know properly, to ascertain by seeing. So they would have saw through this. They were, and then Solomon, of course, his name, peaceful. You'd have to look into it. I guess the root, a primitive root, recompense, render, requite, make restitution, restore. So he would have restored, been restored to the throne, really. And this is all, of course, type and shadow, but it tells us what was going on in Adonijah's mind, why he was not selecting his people. Twice now, Nathan is used to bring this question to the king, once through his counsel given to Bathsheba, and then from his own mouth. Is this thing done by my lord the king, and you have not showed it unto your servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? Nathan respectfully puts this question before the king, because none of this appears right in the heart and minds of him and Bathsheba. And the Lord is showing us that a witness will always be established against our old man, typified here by Adonijah. Surely the Lord will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. We will all feel that rejection that will cause us to groan in our spirits as we long with all of the saints for his vindication on our lives that have become like Christ, despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. In Revelation 6:10, and they cried with a loud voice, which is what Christ did. It says in Hebrews 5:7, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, and that he feared. So he saved him from death, meaning that death that we talked about, from being self-righteous, and he saved them and made him realize, no, it's God doing the work in him. And Christ is saving us from death by reminding us that it's Christ doing the work in us. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Next week, Lord willing, we'll see the type and shadow answer to this question. How long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? As we look at the response that King David gives that brings us into remembrance of these verses in Habakkuk and 1 Corinthians 15:52. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. And that's our study. Thank you all for coming out.